Now, I know that there are some people in this world who, when things like that happen, we want to accredit it to the devil. I don't give him that much credit. It's just stuff happens sometimes, right? We don't worry about it. We just move on and do what we got to do. That's why all of our hallelujahs, who they belong to? Him. Because he gives us the courage to face each day. He gives us his life, energy through the Spirit of God to continue on each day. And he is just so worthy to receive our hallelujahs. I thank you, Deacon Newby, for those kind remarks regarding the pastor's anniversary. We will continue until such time that God brings his new man to New Berean Baptist Church to be your pastor. Until then, you're stuck with me. The message, how to kick away the blues. How to kick away the blues. I had so much fun with this. Just how the Lord just continued to bless this message as we worked through it last week. And we just want to give you his message today on how to kick the blues. It's various verses, but our theme verse is Psalms 42 and verse 5. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done to keep us. Not only did you save us, but you allowed us to be able to endure in this world, on this side of heaven, as we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside, dwelling in us, that we would become temples of God. You've given us promises. You've given us a mission. You've given us each other, so that we can survive. Lord, we just thank you and love you for all that you have done for us. We ask that you hide the cross, hide the preacher behind the cross as we study and get into your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, how to kick away the blues. How to kick away the blues. You ever had a case of the blues? Sometimes you just don't want to get out of bed. What are those days that you really can't tie it down to a specific cause of why you're feeling blue? It's a human thing. Maybe you feel like the circumstances have beaten the joy out of you. It could be illness, it could be medications, or those crazy hormones that come visiting once a month. I don't know. Perhaps these things are causing you to be in a state of the blues, the enemy. Maybe it's family, maybe those crazy people at work, or even some crazy people at church. Look at the newscast and see very little good news. They only like to report the doom and the gloom. Perhaps sin or some indifference has taken a bitter root in your soul. Not S-O-I-L, but S-O-U-L. In the Bible, it actually has a name for it. It's called being downcast. And as you read through scriptures, especially in the Psalms, you'll find the words downcast. That's the biblical way of talking about the blues. It's an emotion that even some of our greatest biblical heroes of faith have had a chance to be inflicted by it. David, David wrote many songs, and many psalms that you read, you'll see some points of low esteem, some points of a lowliness of life, and a loneliness in a crazy world. We saw Elijah after that high point when he was defeating these false prophets. As God performed miracles, he killed them all. It's 100 of them, I believe. Yet, as soon as Jezebel was on his case, he became depressed and was on the run. And God had to help him out. And Jeremiah, before the taking of Judah over to Babylon, he was criticized. He was isolated. He was told, don't even come preach to us in the temple today. He said, don't do it. He got depressed and he became alone. And we know that God still worked with them. David often felt downcast, and it's reflected in many of the psalms that he penned. While circumstances or hormones can trigger some of our blues, we don't want to stay there. Amen. There are some practical steps that we can take to feel better and even prevent some of these blues. In this acrostic today, we're going to be looking at the word blues, the word blues. So we're going to examine some practical ways to kick away the blues today. B-L-U-E-S, blues. B, believe the positive. L, look for the purpose. U, utilize God's promises. E, encourage other people. And S, sing the praises of God. This is a familiar acrostic in many of the preaching that you'll hear today. Everybody who uses it likes to put their own twist to it, so we put a twist to it here for New Berean today. Psalms 42 and verse 5. Listen to what it says. Why art thou downcast, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. What the acrostic is, B-L-U-E-S. Our first point is to believe the positive, to believe the positive. That comes from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 as an answer to believe the positive. We begin the word blues with the first letter, B. Philippians 4:8 says in the King James, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if they be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I like the Amplified version because, once again, the Amplified takes some of the meanings of the Greek words and inserts them into the text to help our understanding through the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Acts chapter 8. It says, finally, believers, Who's he talking to? People who are of the faith, of the way. So this doesn't work too well with people who are not saved. Now, there are people who write self-help books and so forth, and those are fine and good, but it's nothing like the counsel that we find in God's word. It says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually. Say that continually. Think continually on these things. In other words, center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Too many Christians believe in the negatives rather than the positives. They look for and listen to and concentrate on the bad things that happen. What am I saying here? What is God telling us? There are times when people who are in this area of the blues or depression, and we recognize that there are medical conditions. We're not talking about those. We're not talking about things that where there's something wrong with the body or with the mind, per se, that they cannot perform as normal people would. But when a person starts getting so deep in the blues that they don't look for the positives, they look for the negative. They're waiting to hear someone put them down. In fact, when someone's putting them down, whereas I would walk away from it or address it, they get closer so they can hear every bit of the nastiness of what they're saying about them, so they can continue to live in their state of the blues. They listen to, even though they don't have to necessarily, but they listen to, and then they concentrate, bear down with a magnifying glass all the bad things that happen. On the bus that I take in the afternoon, there's a young lady, and there's a Christian young lady. The young lady, she works somewhere, and she gets on the phone, and everybody from the front of the bus to the back can hear what she's saying, and it's blues, blues, negativeness, negativeness, blues, blues. I'm glad I have my scriptures to read during that time, because I don't want to keep hearing the negative talk. But that Christian young lady who often sits across from her or near her, she's always using positive things to say, giving her positive counsel. Girl, you need to get in your Bible. You need to listen to some scripture during the day instead of thinking about all the bad things and the job that you have. You need to spend time believing on the positive. And she does that. When I get around to it, I'm going to tell the Christian young lady who's counseling her how I appreciate what she does on that bus ride home. Because that's what we should do. Contrarily, rather than think on positive things, we find ourselves in trouble. But you know, if you're thinking about and concentrating on the positive, and you're looking for the good in others and circumstances, like it talks about in Philippians 4:8, then you're on your way to kicking away some of those blues. If you would note that in 4 and 8 of Philippians, there are words like purity and righteousness and the knowledge of discernment. those things help us to get what God is trying to tell us. Not only do we get the sense of what's right and what's wrong because we look for the things that are a good report, right? But that's part of the process of sanctification. It's hard for a person who is living in the blues to find themselves growing in the Lord so that they can receive and build on that sanctification. They're not getting enough of the word. They're not getting enough of the positive things so they can see the benefit of getting into the word of God, as God will counsel us out of that state of the blues. But we'll stay right there if we don't watch it. So the first one is a B, believe the positive. Now we look at our second point. We want to look for the purpose. We want to look for the purpose in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. Point number two, look for the purpose. Let's look at 1 Peter. But the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, what's he going to do? He's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish and strengthen and settle you. That's what we see in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. But did you notice the first part of that verse when it says, the God of all grace, the God of all grace? That means he's the source of the grace that we need. We can't get the source of grace confused with the bottle of alcohol. The bottle of alcohol is not able to deliver the grace that we're looking for. The drugs cannot give us this grace. God is the source of all grace. And listen, he's able to make all grace abound towards you and I. He's able to make grace abound towards us. So my mind is not thinking on, when I get off the bus, I'm going to go find something to drink because I got the blues. No, if I'm getting off the bus, I can't wait to get into my Bible when I get off, because I like to sit in my Bible in my car for a while and just read. Usually something meditating on these passages of scripture that we're talking about. He has all sufficiency in all things and is able to deliver grace. So if that's the case and I'm finding myself in a situation where I could be in the blues, I want to look for the purpose. I want to look for the purpose because that's what it says here. It says that after you have suffered for a while, what will he do? He'll make you perfect. He'll establish, he'll strengthen and settle you. God gives grace to the humble, doesn't he? He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need, like when we are in the blues. Tests are allowed by God so that we may come to know him, that he is trustworthy and that he's faithful. He's doing that when we're having our hard times. For what reason? So that we can come to know his grace truly is sufficient for us. Isn't that what Paul said when he prayed three times? God answered his prayer, and his prayer was that, no, I'm not taking that thorn away, that thorn in your side away, but I want you to trust me more because of it. And Paul rejoiced in it. You see, he looked for the purpose of his pain. When I'm weak, then I am strong, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12. Tests and trials, believe it or not, even though God loves us, he allows those tests and trials so that we can exercise our faith and become stronger as a result. James 1, 2 and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Oh, that's beautiful to know that. So B, we believe the positive. L, we look for the purpose. U, our third point, utilize God's promises. You find that in Romans 15 and verse 4. Point number three, utilize the positives. Romans 15, verse 4, utilize the promises. For whatever things were written aforetime, that means the way back days, they were written for our learning. Now, at the time that these scriptures were written, they were for the people in the audience of the hearing of the word of God. But also, they're for us, for they were written for our learning, New Berean Baptist Church. For what purpose? That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have what? Hope. When a person is in the blues, do they long for hope? Isn't that what they're singing in the blues? They hope something come by better than the situation that they're in. Aren't they looking for hope? Well, if you are looking for the hope, saints, you gotta utilize the promises that God gave us. He said they were written for our learning, didn't he? That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So the person who may be in the blues, the person who may be having cases of depression, if their Bible is closed and they don't listen to the scriptures, it's going to be hard to believe the promises when we don't even know what the promises are. We want to trust in God's promises. Some Christians lack victory because they have neglected God's promises. They forfeit many of the benefits promised in God's word. When they get to their mansion in heaven, there's going to be a room full of all the blessings that they could have had. So bad that some people will look like, what's that called when they go to a house and it's all full of stuff? You know? Yeah. You mean to tell me I had all them blessings all this time? I didn't know about them. What, did you read the word? Well, not really. Well, that's what happened. You didn't read the word. You didn't understand the promises I had for you. We must utilize God's promises by reading them, remembering them, and referring to them often. Trusting God's promises will help build our life on them. 1 Kings 8 and verse 56. Would you listen to this? 1 Kings 8, 56. Not one word. Not one word. I'm smiling right now. I'm smiling because I read. Man, listen. It says, not one word has failed of all the promises, all the good promises he gave. Let me read that again because that made me happy. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave. When his promises are delivered, they're not better than gold. They're not good as gold. They're out of this world. But listen, it's good to appropriately understand and apply them in our lives. We got to know those promises, but we have to understand them. Some questions about it, these promises. One of the things that we need to remember that it can be a promise that was for a specific person in the Bible. Or it could be a conditional promise. Or perhaps we must take the promise and compare it to other promises to ensure that this is the promise that God has for me. Jeremiah 29:11 through 13 is a case where the Babylonians had been in exile or going to be in exile. Look at what it says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. He's talking to the exiles, people who are going to be exiled. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. I give you an expected end. Now, they're going to be captured and enslaved by the Babylonians. Yet he says, not of evil to give you an expected end. Well, their expected end in their mind was they are over in Babylon. What's God doing? Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You mean to tell me we got to go to Babylon and be captured for us to pray and have you? Can't you just answer our prayer while we're over here in Judah? No. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, when they got taken to Babylon and Ezra brought them back, he and Nehemiah, when they got back to the land of Judah, back home, they didn't know the word of God. Many of them hadn't read it in a while. But one of the benefits of moving them to Babylon was when they came back, there was no more Baal worship. They weren't worshiping false gods anymore. Even in Jesus' day, you don't see them talking about worshiping Baal because they learned a lesson. They learned their lesson. But does that apply to us? Well, yes, it does. In the sense that you can see the character and the goodness of God. So we can use that promise for us, even though it's written for someone else. But there are times when a promise that is made is not a promise for us, right? If an older woman who's 70 years old starts praying for a child. Okay, now wait a minute. I heard Sarah, God told her she was going to have a baby, and she laughed about it. God, I'm not going to laugh. Can't you give me a baby? Now, I'm sure there's no 75-year-old women asking for no baby. I don't know. I ain't going through that. But do you get my extreme point? Some promises are not going to be for you or me. They're for somebody else. So I got to make sure I understand the promise. Sometimes promises are continual. Somebody might quote Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And here's where it's conditional. And all these things will be given to you as well. But God, you said all things will be given to you. Have you been walking with me? Have you been talking to me? Have you been seeking the kingdom and my righteousness? No, well, don't wonder why you don't have what you need, because you haven't been walking right. It's a conditional promise. It's a conditional promise. And the third thing is, does it agree with other scriptures? Sometimes you need to bounce one promise off to another promise to ensure that it's a promise that's made for you and that you can claim. 1 and verse 20 says this, listen, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. See, God proves here that God is a promise maker and a promise keeper, because he came just like Moses, Micah, and Elijah promised that he would. Jesus came just as Micah, Moses, Isaiah promised that he would in their prophecies. So we can compare scripture and find that a child will be born in Bethlehem and a virgin shall conceive. And how God the Father in Genesis, in a book that Moses wrote from Jump Street, said that the offspring of the woman, you will bruise his heel, but he will crush the serpent's head. See, it agrees. Those scriptures agree with one another. So we can use the promises of God. So we believe the positive. We look for the purpose, and we utilize God's promises. But now we're going to look at our fourth point. Look what it says. B-L-U, then E. Encourage other people. Encourage other people. If you want to beat the blues, if you want to kick the blues away, we want to start encouraging other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Did I say 1 Corinthians? I believe it is 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. Hope I said that. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. I believe that's right. We want to encourage other people. We want to encourage other people. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. Is that right? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able, let's look at, comfort us in all of our tribulation. That means the trouble that we've been going through. That we may be able to do what? To comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, when we don't just look at our problem. But we're not just focusing on air condition. Because of the condition that we're in and the lessons that we have learned through it, we're able to comfort others in all of their circumstances and problems and issues. Many people fall into discouragement because they fail to help those who are in need. If God was waiting for you to get up in our circumstances so you can help this brother over here, we're going to stay in a depressed way. Because God says in his word, that's what he wants us to do. That's some of the purpose of why we are where we are, so that we can help somebody else. Many people fall in discouragement because they fail to help those who are in need. They are too involved in all their selfish pursuits. We should encourage others by reaching out, not necessarily waiting for them to come to us, but to reach out to help them with their problems. This often enables us to resolve or solve our own difficulties. We're no longer churning our mind on our problems because we are focused on helping somebody else. Johnny Erickson Tata is, she's in her 70s, I believe now, an evangelical Christian author. She's a radio host, a fantastic artist, and the founder of Joni and Friends, which is an organization that ministers to people throughout the world who have disabilities. At the age of 17, she became disabled. She took a dive that left her a quadriplegic. It changed her life. In one of her interviews, having had bouts with cancer to boot, she shared how it was helping others who were in worse or similar conditions as her was one of the things that God, she says God, used to encourage her when she was down on life, when she sometimes seemed to have no hope. This gave purpose to her life, and she recognized that. She's a living example of encouraging others when we find ourselves in the blues. So we've seen we believe the positive, we look for the purpose, we utilize God's promises. E, we encourage other people. Now we go to this last letter, S, singing. Sing God's praises. Sing God's praises. That's Psalm 66 in verse 2. Look what it says in Psalm 66 in verse 2. It says, sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Listen to what I'm saying. We sing God's praises, right? But in the black church, what do we do when we are in the blues and we start to sing? Oh, Lord, come and help me now. I'm in trouble, Lord. I'm talking about myself. I'm not even praising you right now. I'm just asking you to help me. I just need you to come by my way. Oh, do not pass me by. Oh, wait a minute. Were there any songs that we gonna sing that just plain give praises to God for no other reason than we just wanna praise him? When we get in a place where we're not looking at our downfall, but we're looking at God and his mercy, God and his greatness, God and his glory. Hallelujah. belongs to you. Huh? B.B. King and other entertainers, they make a living singing the blues. And, you know, I'll be honest, I like playing the blues when I get home on my guitar. It's fun. I can do it for 30, 40 minutes, just playing the same old blues riff. It's good stuff. But that's not where I'm going to live. Most Christians fail to praise the Lord enough. You see, when we praise God in our singing, it brings hope. It lifts us out of despair when we sing to our Heavenly Father, to our Lord. The psalmist said in Psalms 71 and verse 14, Psalm 71 and verse 14, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." In the New Testament, the Bible encourages Christians to sing. Did you know that? Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Listen to what it says. If you don't take what I'm telling you, when we're in our blues, we need to start singing praises to God. Listen to what Colossians 3:16 says. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And we'll stop there. We need to let the word of God dwell in us richly. There's so more to that verse. It says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now that verse said, do it three times, three ways. God's not picky. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's hard to stay in the blues. It's hard to remain depressed when we start singing in our hearts with grace to the Lord. Singing and praising God then is biblical. And the whole Bible encourages us and tells us to know its importance as we are encouraged to sing and praise the Lord. B-L-U-E-S. What's our conclusion? Psalms 42 and verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, and for yet I shall praise him for the help of his countenance." The psalmist transitions from being blue when he's longing for God in a state of depression and despair to singing the praises of God as he now places his hope in being in the very presence of God face to face. So I'm going to leave you with this. When a person stands depressed, when a person finds himself living in the blues, that's a person who is longing for God. They are longing for God. When they begin to sing and enjoy the Lord and get in his word and start living for the Lord and helping other people, they are no longer in a process of longing for God, but they are now living for God in the presence of God. Now, if God is everywhere, then what's the difference? A person who longs for God is not in the presence of God. For where you are in the presence of God, we are face to face with God. We are face to face with God. That's why when we are face to face with God, we can enjoy and talk and pray and live our lives in peace and in gratitude and thanksgiving because we're close to Him. We're face to face. When we're in our state of depression, we are longing for what we remember over there. That's the blues. The blues is when we're depressed, sad, because we're longing for God. He wants us to get out of the blues and come to the presence of God where we can be enjoyed in fellowship with Him face to face. See, these are some examples of how we should respond when the world turns upside down on us. Even where there's a ugliness or badness to this time, when you're over in the presence of God, we don't feel like we've been forgotten by Him. Try kicking the blues, saints. Believe the positive, look for the purpose, utilize God's promises, encourage other people, and sing God's praise. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for just having a moment here in Your Word where we're able to look at the blues and find these practical things that we can apply in our lives so that we don't have to stay in the blues, but we can find ourselves in the presence of God, face to face. We ask these things in Jesus' name.